Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, we're going to be talking about transportation issues across San Diego County. My special guest is Jack Hsu, who is the president of the Cleveland National Forest Foundation. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today.
Now, your organization filed a lawsuit against the San Diego Association of Governments challenging the regional transportation plan. Two courts, Superior Court and then the Appellate Court, have both upheld your position on this. And now, as of last week, SANDAG has voted 20-1 to file an appeal to the California Supreme Court. Let's start with some background for our listeners. Why did the Cleveland National Forest Foundation file the lawsuit? What was wrong with the regional transportation plan?
Well, first, you know, the forest is under threats from many factors, and urban sprawl is being one of them, climate change being another. These are the real threats to the forest today and into the future. So we want to address those issues. And in doing that, we believe sound urban planning, good city building is a key to that, to really save the forest. And I can elaborate on that some more, but if you really think about it, you know, climate change is going to wipe out our forest, completely destroy it.
Yeah, we're already seeing impacts out there with the bark-boring beetles coming in and a lot of dead trees.
Right. Correct. And the other is urban sprawl. That's what's taking away animal habitat, crucial habitat. And that's happening because we're not planning our cities well enough. And lastly is, you know, someone said, a very famous person actually said, injustice someplace is injustice everywhere. And that counts for environmental injustice as well.
So in a nutshell, as I understand it, the SANDAG plan put all the emphasis on freeways first, building more freeways, and mass transit was more of an afterthought, something that they would do much, much later on, and to a smaller degree than the freeways. Now, the court took a look at this and essentially told SANDAG that their environmental impact report was inadequate because it failed to adequately address health impacts and some other things, climate change and so forth. What are you hearing from the folks at SANDAG? This was 20-1. What are they telling you about why they voted this way? And I might add, we did invite a SANDAG representative here who was not able to make it today. But what are the reasons for this?
I think they went down a path that they can't come back on, or that it's so hard for them to go back on. Mm-hmm. And that path is based on a lot of misinformation or lack of information. And that's what CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act, really requires, is let's have a document to give the public and decision makers information so we can make better decisions, so we can know what we're doing. And the court found that that's what they're lacking in. Lacking information. That's the problem with their environmental document. They can still make a decision whether to do more freeways or more transit, but they should be doing so in an open fashion, getting all the information up front.
So the court faulted this for not being transparent, among other things.
And in fact, going a bit further, lack of information and providing misinformation.
Really?
And that's why they really need to work on those documents, and their decision-making was in error.
Yeah, now I know we've heard from at least one SANDAG member, Christine Alicio, a councilwoman in La Mesa, who's also an attorney. And she said this was about conflicting messages from the state, conflicting laws, and they felt they wanted the Supreme Court to work that out and clarify that. I guess the example that she gave was that Governor Schwarzenegger initially issued an executive order saying that we must meet certain goals to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by a certain time period. The state legislature then turned around and said, well, yes, we agree with that, but we need to go even further because new science shows the problem is even worse. So they kind of moved up some of the timetables, and she's trying to argue that that somehow is the legislature preempting the governor, even though it was really the same goal.
Right. This term of that the law is obscure or not clear. But the courts didn't find it that way. This was the argument that SANDAG used in court, and now they're spelling it out in their reasoning of why they want to appeal further to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Let's make it clear. The governor's executive order in 2005 gave us a goal. Based on that goal, the legislature found that, gee, we need to have some help in that to make that goal or even go further. And that's when they passed AB 32, which gave us some benchmarks, in between benchmarks for 2020, 2035.
Right.
SANDAG, we immediately said, okay, they probably met at least the 2020 goals, or 2025 goals. Actually, they met those goals by counting that we would continue with a recession and we would buy lots of electric cars. Whether that happens or not, who knows? But we know that the prediction will accept that for 2020. From there, their prediction is that greenhouse gas emissions will continue to go up. In fact, 700% higher than the goals that Schwarzenegger has set. There's no conflict between these two goals. In fact, they're based on each other.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that SANDAG has met the 2020 goals and they don't have to deal with the 2050 goals is really ludicrous. It's insane.
Yeah, and really nobody in the legislature, the governor, anywhere is saying that they need to do that. This seems to be something SANDAG came up with on its own.
Completely on their own. And what's really crazy is we're talking about a plan that's called the 2050 Regional Transportation Plan.
And yet they're saying they don't need to meet the state's goals for 2050.
Yeah, that's how ridiculous their argument is.
Okay.
It's completely ridiculous argument that they don't have to address greenhouse gas emissions in 2050 because they met it for 2020.
So you've indicated that there are three major areas where this plan falls short. One of them is climate change, one of them is health, and one of them is economic justice. Let's talk about health for a moment. What are some of the health concerns here? I understand you've got some statistics and so forth to back this up.
Well, we know cars and trucks on our freeways, and highways and our roads are a major health hazard. Not only is it the most dangerous way to travel from one place to another, but it puts out a lot of pollution, not just greenhouse gas pollution, but also other gases that cause illness, asthma and cancer. We know that from a study that USC did in 2008 that people who live or children who live within a half mile of a freeway have an 80% higher chance of having asthma.
Children who live within a half mile of a freeway have an 80% higher chance of getting asthma. So to what degree was that addressed in the environmental impact report?
It wasn't. It wasn't, except to the point that there will be an impact. So other regional transportation plans in San Francisco area and in the L.A., greater L.A. area did health impact analysis or studies.
Yeah.
We asked SANDAG to do the same because we felt, you know, San Diego should be treated similarly to other parts of California.
Right, we're healthy.
Right. They said no.
So
well,
they didn't.
We'll do it. They didn't do it.
So they did no health impact analysis whatsoever in the SANDAG report?
No, not to the degree that we asked for, which is the standard that we want in California, is mm-hmm. to have some good assessment of what this plan will do to people's health. And if we're going to add more freeways, how many more asthma cases are we talking about?
Goodness.
How many more cancer cases are we talking about?
What are asthma rates like in San Diego right now compared to the rest of the state?
Well, we have some of the worst, of course, in Logan Heights area is some of the worst in the country. We still have a failing grade from the American Lung Association.
Failing grade from
even,
the American
even
Lung
Association. Even though we're next to the coast here.
So we have a failing grade from the American Lung Association, pockets that have some of the worst asthma in the country, and they don't think they need to analyze the impacts of more freeways on health.
Exactly, and that's where I think the failing comes from. So our elected officials that serve on the SANDAG board, people like Todd Gloria, people like Mayor Cox, people like Supervisor Ron Roberts, seems to be satisfied with continuing a failing grade. We've been asking for, come on, let's look at some alternatives, so maybe you can get how about a C minus?
There we go. Now, you've also mentioned economic justice as an issue. Can you explain about that?
Well, we know that driving cars is very expensive and keeping those roads up are very expensive. We have a hard time even filling all of our potholes. But our elected officials are very quick to build more lanes and more roads, which means more costs, initial costs for one of the most costliest ways to get from one place to another. There's a myth that drivers pay their own way. That's a myth. They're supported by other taxes. Even though California has one of the highest tax rates for gasoline and toll roads and so forth, the cost recovery is about 34%. That's from the American Tax Foundation.
Now, as far as the economic justice aspect is concerned, Jack, I understand you have some figures about what the economic impact on a family can be if they don't have to have a car.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a lot of talk about raising minimum wage and income for people. If you don't have to have a car, if you don't have to buy a car, that's equivalent to at least $5,000 a year savings, if not more.
Huge.
And if you do the math, if you work 40 hours a week all year long, that's equivalent to a pay increase of $3 an hour.
Wow.
So if we build our cities better so that people don't have to have cars, only need one car instead of two cars, you give one of those wage earners a $3 an hour pay increase without any cost to the employer, to anybody. And on top of that, people will be healthier as well.
Very significant. Thank you. Well, what about the low-income people out there? The county says they need to be able to drive places. We've got to build more freeways for them. What's your solution?
Well, they need some alternatives, and I think that's the key. We're pretty well vested in cars, and we're not going to get rid of cars and trucks anytime soon, and that's we know that. But we should have alternatives in other communities, other cities throughout the world, let alone in California, has figured that out. And are trying to move and providing those alternatives. Because the person who's riding on a trolley, I should mention, not only is it more cost effective and energy effective, it's cost effective for government. Their supplement from general tax is less than someone who's driving. The person who's driving is on welfare, and we need to get them off of welfare into other forms of transportation.
But also the high price of gasoline lately, that is taking a big chunk out of the average person's budget and certainly out of the low-income people's budget. I realize gas prices have dipped temporarily while OPEC is kind of playing some games here, but we all know it's going to go back up eventually. So what about those folks that are living out in Alpine or the rural areas? And I know I've talked to people who said they couldn't afford to go to their doctor. They didn't know how they were going to get in for a court appearance because they couldn't afford to put gas in their cars.
Right. Well, let me add some added figures there with regards to gasoline and the cost of auto transportation. For every dollar you spent on gasoline, since we don't produce gasoline in San Diego, 85 cents leaves our region. If you spent that dollar on transit, riding the trolley, 85 cents stays in our region because that money goes to maintaining the trolleys and paying for the driver.
It isn't just trolleys either. Transit can include, for example, improving bus services, say in rural areas where it's not practical to get a trolley there.
Right. And let's look at some other options since we're dealing with East County. And so we may not have a trolley line that goes out to Alpine, but we can have a better trolley or light rail system that starts in El Cajon. So the way that would work is for someone who does live in Descanso in Pine Valley.
There you go.
They can use Uber, they could use buses or some other rideshare type of system, efficient system, to get into, let's say, El Cajon, where we have a better transit system, and jump on that and get into downtown. We need a system that is efficient, that is attractive, and light rail is really the way to go. Buses, Bus Rapid Transit is the new acronym for bus BRTs. The problem with BRTs is that the way Sandag is going about its implementation, they're using it as a disguise to build more freeway lanes.
Yeah.
And that's a real problem because if you build more lanes, even if you make it a diamond lane, even if you make it a bus lane, there's going to be more cars on the road. We shouldn't be investing in that. We have to reduce our vehicle miles traveled 15% from current levels if we're going to meet those goals in 2050 for greenhouse gas emissions. That's with a very high number of people switching to electric cars even.
Now, yeah, let's come back and talk about the greenhouse gas emissions and the climate change issue. How much difference could San Diego make toward reducing greenhouse gas emissions if they were to adopt, say, what the Cleveland National Forest would like to see as opposed to the plan that Sandag came up with?
this issue of greenhouse gases and world climate disruption is something that we all have to start from someplace. In America, in San Diego, our amount of greenhouse gas emissions per capita is extremely high compared to the rest of the world. If we can't change, if we cannot become a leader in that area, how can we ask anyone else to? We should be able to do that. We're supposed to be intelligent. In fact, the whole issue of greenhouse gas and CO2, that study was started here at Scripps in San Diego. That whole idea of climate change started in the 50s from here.
True, we have many of the top climate scientists in the whole world right here at Scripps Institute, at UCSD, these climate experts.
We have the brain trust to do that change. Unfortunately, we don't have the political leadership to make that change, and that's the real problem.
Let's talk about the political leadership. There were 20 people who voted to appeal this case to the California Supreme Court, and one who voted no. Let's start with the one who said no. I understand that it was Chuck Lowry, who is the deputy mayor, brand new, newly elected deputy mayor of Oceanside. How long had he been in office, Jack?
3 days.
3 days. And he was an alternate. He wasn't even supposed to be there.
Right. So the vote was actually 19 to 1. The 20 representatives on the Sandag board, made up of the 18 cities in the county, and then the two county board supervisors. Mm-hmm. And that makes up the 20 votes.
Okay.
So most of the representatives are the mayors of the individual cities, Mayor Cox, Mayor Abbott from Escondido, and then from San Diego, of course, Mayor Faulkner and Todd Gloria.
So in East County, it was Mayor Wells from El Cajon.
Jack Dale serves on the, though he's a councilman from Santee, Mayor Sessions from Lemon Grove.
Right. And then in La Mesa, it was not Mayor Madrid, now ex-Mayor Madrid, who actually has said he would have voted the other way. It was Councilwoman Christine Alicio, who's an attorney and
councilwoman. Yeah, you know, it's kind of odd. I don't know all the reasons why Mayor Madrid was taken off the Sandag board.
A lot of complicated politics on that one.
Right, which really shows how deep our problems are politically, that even strong Democrats that should be liberal and vote for the best thing for our communities and for the climate have failed to do so. Todd Gloria chairs the Transportation Committee for Sandag, and repeatedly, for years after year, he has put forward a plan that is not only hurting the climate issues, but also our home communities with more pollution.
Now, Todd Gloria, his vote counts really as more than one vote. Of these 20 votes, it's weighted based on population. So what percentage of the entire Sandag vote does the city of San Diego get?
For Todd Gloria alone, 20%, and with the other representative from city of San Diego, another 20%. So 40% of the weighted vote comes from San Diego alone because of the population in San Diego.
Yeah, I know that when Filner was mayor, he used to joke that with the city of San Diego, between him and if they picked up Art Madrid from La Mesa, maybe one other, they could control Sandag. But right now, it's totally the other way, it looks like, with this 20-to-1 imbalance.
Well, and I think that's important to point out there that we don't have to change all 20 votes. We need to change the culture of Sandag, in which they have a tendency to unanimously vote on things, pulling along people who want to think differently.
Because they want to look united. In the end, if they see they're going to be on the losing side of things, people will come around and just say, let's put forth a unanimous front. Is that what's happening
here? Well, they don't have a good dialogue. I don't think it's a good democratic process. Mm-hmm. You know, let me quote something from this appellate court decision. The error is prejudicial because it precludes informed public participation and decision making. That sentence was written at least four times in this appellate court decision. Mm. This is what Sandag leaders, our elected officials, are appealing. They don't want more information. They don't want to do these kind of studies.
Okay. So where can listeners out there, first of all, get more information, maybe read the decision, read the regional transportation plan, Jack?
If they go to our website, transitsandiego.org, there's all of our information, other things that our organization, the Cleveland National Forest Foundation, is doing, as well as the court papers. This decision from the appellate court is there. You can download it, along with other briefs. There's three briefs that amicus briefs that were submitted from other folks in California. Those are all available so someone can learn more about this case locally in San Diego.
And if people want to take action, get involved, what can they do to make their voice heard, Jack?
They can help the Cleveland National Forest Foundation, but more simpler than that is when they see an elected official, regardless of whether they're represented on the San Diego or not, they should make this point heard that, you know, why are we appealing this decision? Why are we not making things better in San Diego? How come we're not looking at other options?
Is there a cost factor involved? Are they opposing this because it would be just too expensive to make these changes? I mean, obviously, it costs money to file an appeal to the state Supreme Court.
I think they're ignoring all those issues. They're using my tax money, your tax money, all of our tax monies, to fight this ridiculous case in which they've already lost in two courts. And it's crazy in my mind because all the courts are saying is you need to look at alternatives. You need to have a better plan so that we have an informed decision-making process. So my saying here is SANDAG is using our money to continue to be ignorant. And to me, that's just not the responsible leadership in our county.
Listeners, if you tuned in late, we've been talking with Jack Hsu, who is the president of the Cleveland National Forest Foundation, about SANDAG's decision to appeal to the California Supreme Court, a decision by the appellate court and the lower court, which upheld Cleveland National Forest's legal challenge to SANDAG's regional transportation plan. You can find out more about that at transitsandiego.org, which has all of the information from the Cleveland National Forest Foundation. And I want to thank you very much, Jack, for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Thank you.